This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is a podcast edition of Global Sounds on Joy 94.9. In Melbourne, you can tune in on Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. on 94.9 FM or online at joy.org.au/listen-live. For more information, visit joy.org.au/globalsounds.
We've got with us tonight one of the Habibis, one of the founding members. It's Irini Vella. Thanks for coming in at such late notice.
It's a pleasure to come here. It's such a great program you have.
Oh, thanks very much for that. I'm going to ask you, first of all, how were the Habibis formed and when?
Well, it goes back a long way. We formed officially in 1995, and that was myself, Rachel Cogan, a drummer, and Anne Harkin, and we brought in Achillea, Archie Yanguli. We were kind of a bit of a scratch band at the time, and we thought we wanted to sort of get a gig at the National Folk Festival, but we needed a name because we all wanted to play together. So we said, let's call ourselves the Habibis, because we had a person who played Arabic drums. We used to love this song called Mizidlu, which has been on Reservoir Dogs. It's this Oriental Greek song. It has the word Ahya Habibi, Ahya Ya Leli. It's a very kind of camp, kitsch kind of Art Deco, Dorothy L'Amour Oriental Greek song. It's actually an Anatolian song originally. And we felt fine with it because it seemed to, have the Arabic meaning, but also have its transformation into a Greek song. So that was 95, and so we did the National, and then we've had quite a few different. And also my brother Malayan Vella was also the other person that came just shortly after that, which was 1995 when Malayan came on board. And then Anna Harkin left, and then we just continued to sort of work with various people over the years. And our current lineup now is Malayan Vella on guitar, Achilles Yanguli on vocals, Bazuki Darabuka. He's a wonderful, wonderful vocalist. We have Jenny M. Thomas on violin, myself on Crete and lute and whatever else, bouzoukis and baklamas, and Sotiri Trayanopoulos, a guy from the north of Greece, an amazing clarinetist of the old style. He's the real McCoy, if you like. And he's the elder of the band, so we do listen to him when he has an opinion, and that's it. So we're kind of a five piece. Sometimes we operate as a four piece. Sometimes as a five piece.
So it really depends on who's available for a concert.
Pretty much, because I've noticed that as people get older, the older the musician is, the least likely they are to want to make every rehearsal. Life gets too busy. People have families, they have kids, they end up playing with other people, and it's not like it is when you're in your youth, where you really it's, I reckon, between the ages of 20 and 24 is when, in some ways, is when you do most of your learning as a player, and you're at your prime, and there's a great enthusiasm. So that kind of goes after a while. Yes. But we manage. It's hard. It's hard to keep going, especially playing this sort of music. You know, it's a specialist music, if you like. A lot of people love it, but gigs aren't happening all the time, you know. And if you don't want to play taverns all the time, you know, that gigs happen every now and then. And one of them, of course, is the Eleftheria Arvanataki gig, which is organised by Multicultural Arts Victoria.
Right.
And also the Boata is another great organisation that where you're able to sort of try out stuff you've been rehearsing. I'll shut up now and let you ask another question.
We're talking tonight with Irina Vella from the Habibis. You play the Cretan lute?
Yeah.
How does that differ from other lute?
Well, it's not a lute as in a classical lute sense. So when you hear lute, you know, you think of Julian Bream, and I imagine that's probably what you're thinking of, perhaps. I don't know. But a lute is just a generic term for, I guess, an instrument with a long neck. So what it is, it really is, it's a lute. In Greek, lute is pronounced lauto, so it's a lauto. There are two main lutes in Greece. There are the Cretan variety, which is huge, and then the mainland or the Epirotico variety, which is smaller and it's tuned up a fifth. So it's a little bit more manageable. They're hard to find here. You'd have to get one made, and you do indeed have to get one made in Greece, but there are more of them there. But I play this huge thing, which I got from Yorgos Xiloudis of the Xiloudis Ensemble, which he was a Cretan, an amazing Cretan loo player that used to be based in Melbourne, but alas went back to Crete because that's where the work was. And it's really like a bass mandolin. So it's tuned G, D, A, E, but D is your lowest note, so it's called errant tuning. So the lowest string is actually not the lowest note.
Okay.
So it has a nice, it creates some interesting psychoacoustic things, you know, when you hear it because it's of the errant tuning. Yeah.
And the other question I was going to ask you as well was, what style of music do the Habibis play? What do you call
it? Look, really, we play Greek music, but we used to say the Eastern Mediterranean as well. And the reason we used to say that, and sometimes still do, is because so much of that music is also from what used to be called Asia Minor, Anatolia, where Turkey is now, and Black Sea, even further up towards Russia. So, and it's also a Balkan music. I mean, most countries have a mix of everything, but Greece has tended to... It really is everything, because it's an Eastern tradition, but it's really absorbed the West tradition quite well. Because what you've got to think about when you think of Greek music is... There are the borders of Greece, but once upon a time there were Greek minorities like living in what is now Turkey, the Black Sea in Russia. No. And when war happened, for example, in 1922, there was a forced repatriation. Greece went in stupidly and tried to retake some of its land where its very huge minorities were living, almost 2 million in the west coast of Turkey. There was a forced, at the end of that war, there was a settlement, and between 1.5 to 2 million Greeks were just moved to Greece, whether they liked it or not. And, right. the Turkish minority that were within the Greek borders went to Turkey. Great shame, really, that Turkey lost a lot of minorities.
Yes.
And vice versa, too. But particularly for Turkey, I think all the loss of all those cultures, I think, is really sad. But what happened is that... These refugees came to Greece. Some of them couldn't even speak Greek, or they spoke broken Greek because they identified as Greek and they were Christian. But that world was their home. But what happened is, and it was catastrophic because the population increased by 2 million. Now, probably in Greece in 1922, the population was probably only 5 to 6 million. So that is a huge
influx, yeah.
And it really revolutionized the music.
Mm, they
had the birth of Rebetika.
They brought their music with them from
Turkey.
Yep.
And it mixed in with what was happening with Greek folk music and what was happening in the cities of Salonika and Athens. And this amazing kind of Rebetika, then Laika, happened because of this. So you probably could say, you know, in a country like Greece, one in four people at least from refugees, our ancestors of Greek refugees.
Right.
But we play, you know, what is Greek music? You know, it's also Balkan, so some of it sounds very, very similar to Bulgarian music, Macedonian music. You know, I know it's a funny term because, there are Greek Macedonians and there are other Macedonians who call themselves Macedonians. I don't think... There are no borders, really, when it comes to music. Everything's regional.
Not, exactly.
Some of Greek music is almost like southern Albanian music.
Yes.
Pentatonic music. So it's many things. It's Balkan, it's European, and it's Eastern. And we try to cover a lot of it, a lot of the styles.
What is your background as a composer and musician, and of all the instruments you play, which do you prefer?
Look, really, I'm a guitarist, and that's where I started, and I think a lot of us did start with the guitar. People who go on to mandolin or Cretan lutes or bouzoukis really started off on the guitar in Australia, and then we kind of wanted to explore our roots more and wanted then to play the real instruments. But essentially, I'm a guitarist, and when I compose, I compose on the guitar. So in all my theatre work, I'd rarely compose on a bouzouki or, guitar's my primary instrument for composing.
Can we play another track from the Habibis, Torentica?
Yeah.
You like that one?
That's a good song.
Okay, we'll play that.
Thank you.
This is Global Sounds on Joy 94.9.
And Tuentica.
It's a fun song, and it's called, in English, it's The 11. That's how it translates. It actually, the real title is Why Did On Earth Did I Fall In Love With You? Titala Nasagapusa. But it got called Tuentica, The 11, which is a very strange title, because... there used to be a curfew hour in Ottoman times during a certain period, and 11 o'clock in this particular village or this region where the song is from in North Greece, let's say Macedonia within Greece, and the curfew was at 11. So often this be the last song that they would play. And when you heard that song, you knew
it's a show.
Lights out.
Yeah.
We're talking tonight with Irina Vella from the Habibis. Irina, you've worked in theatre also. Would you like to tell the listener about that, what you've done?
Oh, look, you know, I in 87, in 86 actually, I did, I was in a world music band called Lenko, one of the early fusion bands. We did Bulgarian music and Greek and Chilean. It was, you know, the mixed salad.
Yes.
And in those like days, there's a lot of mixed salads going around. And we did a show. We did actually the first ever non-English speaking production at the Art Centre, the Fairfax Studio, and it was called Epitaphios, which is a dramatised poem by the poet Yannis Silitsos, and also a poet called Komnenos Servos, who was a performance poet. And we, as a band, we kind of presented these works as pieces of theatre, and we were the band for the performance. And after that, just theatre tended to nab me, so I continued playing in the band. But then I joined Melbourne Workers Theatre the year after. That was an interesting year. That was 87, and it was the first ever show that the company did. It was Andrew Bevel who wrote the first show, who's done Lantana and God knows else. Yeah. Patricia Cornelius, and I've worked a lot with Patricia and still do. We did a show called The Call last year, 18 months ago. Melissa Reeves, and then of course Christos Cholkas came on board, and so he became part of this little writers collective that all met through Melbourne Workers Theatre, but has since been, you know, we've all been involved creating our own work. So it was addictive. You know, I found theatre addictive, and I was able to really do what really I am, really I'm more a composer than I am a musician. But I love playing, but it never came natural. I'm always a fairly nervy kind of player, but
I
love it.
You don't look it on stage.
I don't look it, apparently, people say. But, you know, it is, you know... I love playing because it means that I'm more social, and I get to meet people, meet other musicians.
Right.
But in my heart of hearts, if I could just spend the rest of my life, just composing, I probably would, because I think there are, there are so many wonderful musicians out there. I don't think I'd be missed particularly, but I enjoy it. I do enjoy playing, and in the last 4 years, I've done a lot more than I had previously. So.
Well, you just said that you don't think you'd be missed. I think you would.
And I think you would too. We're missed.
Thank you. Yeah,
and especially one of the people I would miss would be Kavisha Marcella.
Oh, yeah.
And we've seen you play with her in different places. You were at Eureka in Ballarat?
Yeah.
That was when the drummer left halfway through the show.
Wow, you got a great memory. Yeah.
It was the first and the only time I've seen that. So what's it like to sort of going from the Greek music with the Habibis and doing Kavisha Marcella songs?
Right. You know, it's different, but it feels logical. Mm. I mean, because I think Kavisha, she writes in very many styles,
yes,
but it's unmistakably Kavisha. Mm. Now, her music, I think her original music is, it can be country and western at times, it can be very Celtic at times, but it's also incredibly European. Mm-hmm. And I think her music is really a blend of, say, the Celtic folk folk aesthetic, but equally it has a Chilean or a Latin aesthetic within it, and a European one. Of course, she's Italian.
Yes.
But as a vocalist, as well as an amazing songwriter, she... the voice itself is it conjures up many cultures and styles. It's a phenomenal voice, and so it feels natural. We also do a lot of Italian music together as well. And we've been doing a lot of Italian Neapolitan music, which is a love of hers. And it feels very comfortable going from Habibi land to Kavisha land, only that there are no additive rhythms in Kavisha's music.
Right, yes.
You know, there's no 7/8 or 9/8 or 11/8. You know, there are a lot of 6/8 and 4/4. That'd be the kind of the only, well, there are many differences, but it does feel comfortable. But she's so comfortable to work with.
Yes, and it also gives you a bit of variety in the playing so that you don't play the same style of music all the time.
Absolutely, yeah. I crave sometimes if, you know, if you're habibing, you know, for months and months on end, it's nice to do something different,
yes.
You know. And I play a lot with Kavisha and, you know, we've toured a lot, you know, we've done it hard, you know. It's hard because she's such a, you know, a full-on working performer. Mm. And, you know, it can be exhausting doing all that travelling and gigging, but, you know, ultimately it's always such a wonderful experience.
At least when you're on stage, you forget about all the hard times and just enjoy playing.
Always.
Yeah, because it does look like you're having fun on stage when we watch you.
I think I do, too. Yeah. I think I do.
Let's have another track from the Habibis. Perhaps you can tell us this one about this one. I've chosen Yeletissa.
Ah, Yeletissa.
Yeletissa. That's what I was about to say.
I still recognised it when you pronounced it.
I think it's called Seashore Girl in English.
That's it. And sung, of course. The previous song we heard, Doendika, was, she's no longer with us, but a really beautiful vocalist, Pascal Latra. But Archie's always been there from the beginning, and he sings the lead on this song, and it's an island song.
Okay. This is Global Sounds on Joy 94.9.
Yalitisa, Yalitisa, στην πόρτα σου ξενυχτήσα.
Thank you for coming in, Irina. It's been interesting talking to you and hearing about the Habibis. And the Habibis will be appearing at the Mix It Up concert at the Hamer Hall this Sunday, 24th of May, from 5 p.m.
And do you have a new album coming out soon, or are you working on that?
Look, we are. It's been far and few. We're just the most unrecorded band. There's that Selections that has come out, which is a compilation. But we are determined within a year to record a new album because it's been it's 10 years, 11 years.
Okay, now that you actually said it on there, so now it's...
You have to do it.
You have to do it now.
And we'll have to get hold of a copy too.
Ah, I'll give you.
Okay, we've come to the end of another Global Sounds and hope you've enjoyed the show this week. Thank you for Irina for coming in.
Thank you.
This is a podcast edition of Global Sounds on Joy 94.9. In Melbourne, you can tune in on Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. on 94.9 FM or online at joy.org.au/listenlive. For more information, visit joy.org.au/globalsounds.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.